It's our interest in your prayers this evening. The song that was just sung said, I'm going on. Where are we going to? Is that a fair question tonight? I have a message that the Spirit of the Lord has just impressed strongly on my heart the last few weeks. Desire that the Spirit of God would not limit the message by the words tonight, but that the Lord would minister to each one of us right on the board. Time is running out. That's the message from the Spirit of the Lord to us tonight. Time is running out. Time is short. And the grains of sand are passing quickly this evening. We live so often with expectation of getting up the next morning. We have expectation that the sun is going to rise again. We have expectation that there's going to be another Sunday service. Expectation that another monarch will come another year. Expectation that I will have time to pray again. Expectation that I'll have time to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm really sorry for what I did. Expectation that you can repair broken relationships. But time is running out. And we do not have an assurance of tomorrow. And the Spirit of the Lord wants to impress on each and every one of us tonight that time is not assured. And the time that God has allotted in this dispensation of grace is very quickly coming to an end. In 2 Peter, in the third chapter, I'd like to begin 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter was speaking, and he wanted to stir up the pure minds. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophet, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? It has been quite some time since the promise of the Lord's coming was given. And there are many scoffers today saying, where is, you know, they've been saying that for 2,000 years. People have been saying that the Lord is coming back. The Lord is truly tarrying his coming tonight. And we are living, if you will allow the expression, we are living on borrowed time. Because time is running out. And the way and the condition that we are tonight is very likely the condition in which we are going to meet our Maker. Because we do not have an assurance of tomorrow. There are some that were here last monarch that tonight are in eternity. If the Lord tarries his coming, and that's a big if. If the Lord tarries his coming, I dare say there will be some of us that will not be here next year because our time is running out. But corporately, the time of this world is running out. And the Lord is going to come back, and he is going to come back quickly. So in the Spirit of the Lord this evening, might I warn you, whatever you have to do, do it quickly. Yeah. Whatever you have to do to make your peace with God, to make your peace with your husband and wife, to make your peace with your children, to make your peace with one another, but ultimately with God, do it quickly because time is running out. He said he wanted to stir up your pure minds. There's going to be scoffers saying, where is the sign of his coming? He said, for they were willingly are ignorant. By the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth was standing out of water and in the water. And then in verse 7, it said, the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack tonight concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any of us should perish, but that all of us would come to repentance. But the day of the Lord, the coming back of Jesus Christ, the scripture says, will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. He pointed back to another time that God brought judgment on the face of this world. And it was when he destroyed mankind with water during the great flood, during the time of Noah. And in that time, we read over in the 6th chapter of Genesis. Maybe we could just read a little bit of that this evening. Because we find that in the days of Noah, time ran out. It came to an end. For many people that thought life will go on as it always has. And let us not forget that Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. There will be eating and drinking, and there will be marriage and given in marriage. We people will have jobs and responsibilities. There will be church services, there will be sin abounding, and Lord willing, there will be a monarch until the time the Lord comes. Life will be going on, but unexpectedly, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, God the Father is going to say, it is enough. So may we learn from the pattern that occurred in the Genesis in the 6th chapter. We read here, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord clearly was not pleased with what was taking place, because it was at that time he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. In other words, I'm going to limit their days. They've been living for hundreds of years until after the flood. He said, I'm not going to strive with man, for that he also is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. It said that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. It was speaking of those primarily of the lineage of Seth that had a godly heritage. They served God. They had a respect for the creator of the universe. Those were the sons of God. And the daughters of men were those, the descendants of Cain. The descendants of those that had turned their back on God in idolatry and rebellion to God, much like the condition of our world today. And those that had an experience with God began to look on those of the world, and they began to intermarry. And God was not pleased with it then, and He's not pleased with it now. Young people, if God is the most important part of our life, how can we enter in to the most intimate and close relationships that exist with someone that does not have that same faith in God Himself? The Lord wants us to marry, when our heart is to serve God, is to marry someone that has that same desire. Because more often than not, you will find that people will go the way of least resistance. That is the way of the world. And there is great power of influence in marriage. And who you marry will greatly impact not only your time on this earth, it will impact you for eternity. There are things that are more important than marriage, and that is your personal relationship with God. So they began to merge. They began to intermarry, and so then it began to draw people away from God. And God looked on it, and with displeasure, He said, "My spirit will not always strive with man." In verse 5, it said, God saw that the wickedness of man was great, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He made man on the earth, and it grieved His heart. And so God set up a plan to destroy mankind with water. And yet there was a man by the name of Noah that found grace in the eyes of God. He had maintained his integrity with God in spite of all the influences and wickedness that were around. Noah maintained a relationship with God, and God gave Noah an avenue to escape His judgment. Thank God tonight that there is still an avenue by which we can escape the final destruction and judgments of God, and that is through Jesus Christ. It is only through Jesus Christ. There is no way, there is no religion, there is no standard of the church of God that can keep us safe from the sin of this world except for Jesus Christ and Him only. But there is an avenue to escape, thank God. And so He gave Noah instruction of how to build an ark. The scripture in the New Testament speaks about Noah as being a preacher of righteousness. And do you know that he surely looked like a foolish man? He was building an ark, and I don't know if it was just most likely it was on dry land. How are you going to get that big old ship to the water? It had never rained before. So he looked even more foolish. We're used to rain. We're used to storms. But up until that point, it had not rained. God had a different system in place. And Noah built an ark, preaching and teaching the people that the judgment of God is going to come. Time is running out. Now is the time to make your peace with God. And yet the people mocked him. They tried to make him look foolish, just like the world will try to make God's people look today. But I am confident of this. Just as God did what He said He was going to do when He sent the flood, God is going to destroy this world with fire, and it's all going to be consumed. And the Spirit of the Lord is saying, I want to stir up your pure minds to know that time is running out. We are on the precipice of eternity tonight. We are standing on the very edge of when time is going to stop, and we are going to enter into eternity where there are no more clocks, there are no more measurements of time, because time in essence will be in a vacuum. Because eternity goes on and on and on. And where there is no end, there is no time. Our time is running out. And so Noah did all. The scripture says Noah did all that God commanded. This evening, the only way that we are going to be ready to meet God in peace when time has run out is to do all that God has commanded. It is not up for me or for you to be selective in our obedience tonight. It is not for us to decide, well, I'll follow this part of the scripture and I'm going to put this one aside. It's not for us to say, well, Lord, I'm doing really good in this area of my life, but I know this part, Lord, just leave it alone. Noah did all that God had commanded. And if we are not doing all that God commands tonight, when time runs out, we are not going to be ready to stand before God in judgment. Because we have the opportunity tonight to escape the judgment of God. There is an avenue for all of us through the blood of Jesus to overcome the power of the flesh. There is an avenue tonight through the blood of Jesus to conquer self. There is an avenue through the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the sinful influences of the world. But we're going to have to be open and honest before God and say, Lord, I'm willing and ready to do all that you command. Because of a surety, our time is running out. The English is not quite as clear in the account of what happened. But by all indications, there came a time that the Lord told Noah, it's time to go in the ark. Before it started to rain. You see, if it started to rain, there would have all of a sudden been a whole lot of believers, wouldn't have there? But it was 7 days before the deep was opened up. And the Lord said, now is the time. Get in the ark, Noah. And Noah went in the ark, and it says that God shut the door. And those that were on the outside were going to be on the outside forevermore. The Lord is saying tonight, get in the ark. Say, where's the rain? It's coming. We are in the 7 days, if you will, before it begins to rain. The Lord has given us almost 2,000 years in this dispensation of grace. And He's saying, get in the ark because time is running out. Can you imagine what it would have been like when Noah got in the ark? Do you know it took faith to go in that ark? It took faith to get in there and say, all right, Lord, I built it in faith. Now I'm going to get in. And when the door was shut, it must have felt very lonely. I'm feeling pretty lonely in the world in which we live tonight. You see, it's not always monarch when we go home, is it? It feels pretty lonely out there. The pressures are great. Young people, the pressures and influences that you feel, they're strong. And you are not abnormal fulfilling for experiencing that draw to the world because it's great. But there is a greater power tonight when you will choose to cast your lot with God and say, Lord, I'm going to go all the way with you, whatever you want me to do. And it's going to be worth it. And so those that watched him go in the ark said, there goes that foolish man. And they continue to live life. For 7 days, and then all of a sudden, a drop of water came out of the sky, and it began to rain. And can you imagine the memories that those people started to have? You remember what Noah told us? He told us this was going to happen. He told us. And it's still there. The ark is still there. And they were probably going up and knocking on the ark. And Noah, open up. Open up. We want to get in now. We believe you now. And it was too late. Because the door was shut. The door is very quickly shutting tonight. And if you want to get on the ark, now is the time. And the flood came, And all those people that had heard his preaching for years, they went out into eternity unprepared to meet God. That is going to happen again, but it's going to happen with fire.
Yes.
And we are going to be ushered into the very presence of God where we are going to be judged.
Yes.
Saints, time is running out.
Yes.
Sinner, time is running out.
Yes.
To those that are walking away from God tonight, time is running out. For those that are in a place of indecision, time is running out. And the Lord has given us a little window. And he's saying, now is the time. Because life is not going to continue as we know it. Because the Lord Jesus is coming back.
Yes.
I remember hearing as a child, and I don't know if it was a track, but I remember hearing the story of someone that had stopped and picked up a hitchhiker along the road. And they picked up a hitchhiker and they were driving along, and the hitchhiker said, "The Lord is coming quickly."
Yes.
And the driver turned around to look at him. And they were gone. It was an angel of the Lord with a message. Where are we now? Time is running out. Jesus told us a parable of the 10 virgins in the 25th chapter of Matthew. And he told us about how that there would be 10 virgins, and 5 of them were wise. And 5 were foolish. And take note that the context of the parable is these were virgins. These were those that were professing purity. These were those that were preparing themselves for the coming back of Jesus Christ. He was not talking about those that were outside. He was talking about those that were inside. And it said that 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Verse 3 of chapter 25 said, "They that were foolish took their lamps, and they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessel with their lamps while the bridegroom tarried. And they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.'" The cry is going forth. The bridegroom is coming. Folks, we're really close. It's almost midnight tonight. We are in the midnight of time. But take note, there were 5 that were foolish. We say, what were the foolish? These were those that says that their lamps had gone out, which meant that at one point the fire had been there. At one point, their lamp was burning. At one time, their love for God was fervent. At one time, they had a desire to please God. But through the drowsiness of the age, through the busyness of the time, through the carelessness of their soul, their lamps went out. And thus was the condition of many of the churches and congregations in Revelation. There were some that one time walked with God, but they lost their first love. There were some that got lukewarm. It wasn't enough that they were there with the wise waiting for the bridegroom. It was not enough that they could say, "My lamp was one time burning." Because see, time is running out. Tonight, as we examine our own life with the knowledge that the bridegroom is coming back, and he's coming back soon.
Yeah.
You have the fire burning in your life tonight. You say, "I'm not doing a lot of bad things." That's not enough. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me," he said, "let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The Lord is looking for a people tonight that will, without reservation, unreservedly giving them their whole life, their mind, their heart, their affections. And we live in an age where too many are holding back apart. And time is running out. And when the Lord comes back, if our fire is not burning, the Spirit of the Lord empowering us, enabling us to live a daily holy life with God, we are not ready to meet God. And it's not enough to say, but I went to service with, I came to Monarch. It's not enough to say my parents love God. It's not enough to say my children are doing right. It's not enough to look around at the history that has brought all of us to where we are here tonight. We won't get to heaven on a history. There is no one standard that is going to get us into heaven except the blood of Jesus Christ being applied, saying, Lord, I'm going to follow you wherever you lead me. And Lord, when you touch my life and you show me areas in my life that I'm not ready, where there's something that it's not quite what you want it to, I don't want to cover it up, but I may not be there, but Lord, I want to get there by your grace. Lord, I don't want to make excuses anymore. If our heart is not fully given to the Lord, we are not ready to stand before God, and may we know that time is running out. I want to be one of the wise. I don't want to be one of the foolish virgins. I want to be ready for the Lord. Well, their fire had gone out. Said the bridegroom tarried. You know what it means to tarry? It means to delay. If someone says, well, they're tarrying, it's almost like they're late. You know, I am not going to say that Jesus is late. The scripture said he's long-suffering, he's holding off, but he's been holding off a long time. He's been holding off a long time, and time is running out. Adam and Eve, from the time of Adam to the flood, there was, and I know the history is a little bit inexact, but it was about 1,656 years from the time of Adam and Eve to the time that God said, enough's enough. I'm going to destroy the world. From the flood to the time that the law of Moses was given was around, give or take a little bit, was approximately 900 years. And then from the law to Christ was approximately 1,500 years, give or take just a little bit. And this takes us to where we are tonight. How far past Christ are we? Approximately 2,000 years, right? I'd like us to consider, from the time of creation to the time of the flood was 1,600 or 1,700 years. And God says, it's over. And then there was 900 years that God dealt with mankind before he gave the law of Moses. And the law of Moses was in effect for about 1,500 years. And then Christ came and ushered us in to this dispensation of grace. And now we stand 2,000 years later. And when we look at the pattern of the judgments of God, can we not acknowledge that God is tarrying? That the bridegroom is tarrying because it is past time. The scripture says that no man knoweth the day nor the hour that the Son of Man is going to come back. And there have been a lot of unwise people to proclaim the year. We don't know. But it's coming, and time is short, and time is running out because the bridegroom is tearing his coming, and the cry is going out tonight saying time is running out. The bridegroom is coming. Get ready. Prepare yourself for the judgment of God. And if you're not ready, now is the time, because those that were foolish, they turned to others and said, give us of your oil. And they said, we can't do it. We're not going to be able to make it in on anybody else's coattails. We have to have a personal relationship and experience with God for ourselves. It's not going to matter that I went here and I did that. We need to have a personal experience. So then, Lord, how is my love tonight? How's my devotion to you? How is my consecration? What have I done with those areas that the Holy Spirit in His faithfulness has come and He's talked to me? Yeah. And I'm not talking about pressure that maybe you feel is exerted from God's people, whether it's in love or otherwise. I'm talking about the areas that you know that God had showed you what He wanted you to do. What are we doing with those things tonight? What have we done? Why have there been so many changes in people's lives the last few years? We live in a time there's a lot of changes taking place. Are the changes that we are taking place in our lives, are they bringing us closer to the Lord? Are they getting us more ready and prepared for the time when time will be no more? Or are the changes that we're allowing to take place in our life getting us a little bit closer to the world? A little bit further from God? A little bit further from that devotion and fire that we one time experienced? Time is running out. The midnight cry came. Said, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." And while they went out, the foolish went out to try to get ready. The bridegroom came. In other words, there was an intention that they had to be prepared to meet the Lord. That was their intention. Because when the cry was given, they went out to try to get oil. They went out and said, "I'm going to take advantage. I'm going to try to go get ready now. It's time." And yet, when they came back, the Scripture says that the door was what? It was shut. It was too late. Because their time had run out. 2 months ago, my family and I were coming back from Kenya. And it had been a spiritually taxing trip. And I was ready to get home. We got into Amsterdam. Our flight was a little bit delayed getting there. We went to our gate. We hurried to our gate. We had all intentions of getting on the next flight. And the plane was still there. And it was going to be sitting there for another 15 minutes. And they said, "We are sorry. The door is shut. But we're here. Can't do it." There was no negotiation that took place. There was no charming. There was no trying to get exceptions. They said the door shuts at this time and we're not opening it. And we were not the only ones that were standing there and we missed our flight. Very quickly, the door is going to be shut. And time will be no more. And if there is an expectation tonight that I plan to make some changes, I plan to be restored, I plan to get ready, if I only knew that the Lord was going to come back tonight, what would we do? Would we do anything differently tonight if we knew for of a surety that the Lord was going to come back tonight? We need to be living every single day as if it were our last day. Because the Spirit of God, and I want to speak where it's at tonight. Prophecy comes from the Spirit. And the Word backs it up. The message tonight is from the Spirit of the Lord. Time is running out. It's about over. What are we going to do with it? We're close to midnight. Can't count on tomorrow. It's going to be too late for so many souls. And Jesus is not going to come back on my schedule or your schedule.
That's right.
He's not going to come back at a time that it is just convenient for us. At one of those times that I'm on fire and then I get lax and I fall back into a condition of lethargy, into a condition of spiritual carelessness, into a condition that I am being moved and motivated by the expectations and influences of the world. He's going to come back at a time that we're going to just be living life. Very typical to how we have been living right now and real recently. We are quickly approaching. The script, one of the songs in our book, I believe it's Eternity. It says, a shudder came over my spirit when I thought, what a moment might cost. What a moment when time comes to an end and there will be a crashing of ages. Everyone that has lived will come to that moment because time will be no more. And how many people will say, if I just had one more moment, just one more time, I'll do it, Lord, whatever you want. I'll do it. I thought what a moment might cost. Friends, tonight, the end of all things is at hand. Time is running out. What will you do? Yeah.